An F-15 is down, but the pilot is okay. A Cirrus SR-22 is down in Texas. And frozen thrust reversers may have contributed to an airliner overrun. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, October 26th, 2011. The U.S. Air Force has confirmed that an F-15C Eagle from Nellis Air Force Base crashed on sparsely populated federal land northwest of Alamo in southern Nevada on Monday. The pilot was able to eject from the aircraft and escaped uninjured, according to official reports. The Washington Post reports Lincoln County Sheriff Kerry Lee said a citizen reported seeing a large explosion and fireball west of U.S. Highway 93 shortly after 4 p.m. local time Monday afternoon. Deputies found a debris field about 100 yards long, about 5 miles off the highway. He added, quote, "It didn't look like the plane slammed into the ground. There was a lot of the plane left, but it burned up," unquote. The pilot, who had reportedly started walking, was picked up by a military helicopter about 30 minutes after the crash and flown to a hospital near Las Vegas, where he was examined and released. The Air Force is not offering more details, but says an investigation is underway. A Cirrus SR-22 with three people on board went down near a high school in Carrollton, Texas, Monday morning. Officials say one person, seated in the back seat, was fatally injured. The other two survived, but were transported to a nearby hospital for treatment. KDFW-TV reports the aircraft had departed PlaneSmart Aviation at Addison Airport. Witnesses said the plane seemed to be suffering from unknown difficulties after missing one approach and before going down. Video posted by the station shows the aircraft's airframe parachute deployed and spread across the ground at the impact site. Local reports suggest the chute was fired off in flight, but too close to the ground to effect a proper recovery. The NTSB has released the cockpit voice recorder transcript from American Airlines Flight 2253, which overran runway 19 upon landing at Jackson Hole Airport in Wyoming on December 29th of last year. Preliminary reports indicate the plane came to rest about 350 feet past the runway overrun area. There were no injuries to the 179 passengers and 6 crew members on board. The plane was not damaged, and the passengers were deplaned using air stairs. The plane was towed to the ramp and secured for further examination. A solid-state cockpit voice recorder revealed that during the approach, controllers told the crew that a Challenger had reported that the braking action on the first two-thirds of the runway was good, but poor on the last third. The flight crew told the controller to expect to see them braking hard on the first third of the runway after landing. But just after touchdown, the first officer is heard saying, "No reverse," in what the investigators call a strained voice. A factual report released previously indicated there had been a significant buildup of ice within the reverser assemblies of both engines. Investigators are also looking at the plane's braking system. The UK's Institution of Mechanical Engineers, or IMECE for short, has issued a report titled Aero 2075, which anticipates aircraft with blended wing designs to improve efficiency and reduce noise. The return of supersonic airliners. Hypersonic scramjets, which could carry passengers at 5 times the speed of sound, and even the flying of airliners in a V formation to take advantage of the aerodynamic secrets of the birds, all by the end of the current century. The report notes that the British aerospace sector generated £29 billion in sales in 2010 and employs about 100,000 people throughout the country, and that the British government eyes aerospace as an important component of balancing the nation's economy to avoid over-reliance on the financial and services sectors. But IMECE notes that the UK aerospace market, currently number 2 in the world behind the US, won't stay there for long without work. Specific suggestions in the report include setting out a long-term strategic vision for investing in the UK's aerospace sector, establishment of a UK Advanced Technologies Aerospace Research Center, measures to ensure UK PLC is an attractive investment location, and restoration of research and development funding to pre-recession levels. The Institution of Mechanical Engineers was originally founded in 1847 and is based in London. The report is available as a free download in 2 parts using the FMI link at the bottom of the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Still ahead, the Bell 429 is certified in China. There's another new option for LED position lights. And cavemen arriving in spacecraft? The Russians say maybe. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, October 26th. I'm Paul Plack. NAV Canada, the air navigation service provider for that country, is deploying Saab Census Corporation's multi-lateration system for surface surveillance, including VLO next-gen vehicle locators, at Calgary International Airport for improved all-weather surface situational awareness. Calgary International currently uses radar for surface surveillance. As part of this project, multi-lateration system data will be fused with radar data for seamless, continually updated surveillance. The location and identity of vehicles will appear on controllers' surface displays. Multilateration is the technique of using the arrival times of radio signals from multiple transmitters at known locations to calculate the position of an object in 3D. It's similar to the base technology of GPS. Saab Census multilateration uses multiple low-maintenance, non-rotating sensors to triangulate aircraft based on transponder signals. It has a higher update rate and greater positional accuracy than traditional radar, uses advanced processing techniques to minimize the number of required sensors, and is ADS-B compatible. Bell Helicopters says it has received type certification for the Bell 429 from the Civil Aviation Administration of China. Larry Roberts, Senior VP for Commercial Business, observes, quote, "Our customers like the speed, power, and the advanced cockpit technology. Along with the largest cabin in its class, it offers a smooth, comfortable ride," unquote. The Bell 429 has conducted extensive flight demonstrations in every continent except Antarctica and has been certified in more than 40 countries. With configuration options ranging from VIP to air medical, law enforcement, utility, and oil and gas, Bell says the 429 offers superior mission capability and adaptability. Hoffman Engineering, based in Stamford, Connecticut, reports receipt recently of FAA TSO authorization of its LED standard and dual-mode aircraft navigation and position lights. The standard lights are functional for daytime operations, while the dual-mode versions feature covert lighting for use with night vision devices. The statement of conformance includes both navigation and position lighting for civil and military fixed and rotary wing aircraft. The new lighting applications promise superior lighting performance and long-life LED lamps, lightweight and low power requirements. They're available immediately and are said to easily replace original equipment. Hoffman Engineering offers an extensive line of internal and external aircraft lighting options and equipment for both civil and military applications. Custom applications can also be developed by the company for specific customer requirements. Those who'd like to spend a Saturday checking out the base formerly known as Naval Air Station South Weymouth in Massachusetts will no longer have to plan ahead and make an appointment. Beginning this weekend, the Shea Field Naval Aviation Historical Museum plans to open its doors from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the last Saturday of each month. The Patriot Ledger newspaper reports the nonprofit Patriot Squadron, an affiliate of the National Association of Naval Aviation, is providing the volunteers to allow the regular hours. Mark Fratasio, a private pilot and U.S. Navy veteran who volunteers on the squadron's board of directors, promises, quote, "If we have more volunteers and there's an interest from the public, we can open it on more Saturdays," unquote. The museum is located at 495 Shea Memorial Drive. Admission is free. And finally today, this might sound like science fiction, but Russian scientists and space officials are looking at the feasibility of putting a permanent inhabited colony on the moon, sheltered by recently discovered volcanic tunnels under the lunar surface. The revelation came at a recent forum on the future of manned spaceflight. Reuters reports that veteran cosmonaut Sergei Krikalev made a presentation complete with slides supporting the idea. He said that the tunnels could provide a natural shelter against radiation and meteor showers without the need to dig in the lunar soil or build walls and ceilings. Inflatable structures with hard outer shells could, in effect, seal the caves, he said. Russian scientist Boris Kryushkov said such a colony could be built by 2030. Imagine that, using modern aerospace and construction technologies to travel to the moon to live as cavemen. Some anthropologist is scratching his head about now. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.